Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying Living in Awe of God, a series from the book of Exodus. In today's session, we're going to be looking at Exodus chapter 19, verses 9 to 25. Prepare to meet your God. There are times in life when we sense the presence of God more than at other times. They leave us changed, and we tend to spend the rest of our lives longing to relive those moments. We call those times mountaintop experiences. Our text for this session revisits that experience in the life of Israel. Chapter 19 begins with God recounting all He has done for His people, reminding them that they are a special possession which He chose from all the peoples of the world. Through their life and witness, God's glory would shine to the nations. He called them a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, and the Israelites responded by agreeing to do all that God had said. Beginning in verse 9, God began to reveal Himself to His people. Let's read that text. Exodus chapter 19, beginning with verse 9. And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I come to you in the thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you, and believe you forever." So Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. And then the Lord said to Moses, "Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. You shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, 'Take heed to yourselves that you do not go up on the mountain or touch its base. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. Not a hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot with an arrow. Whether man or beast, he shall not live. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come near the mountain.' So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said to the people, 'Be ready for the third day. Do not come near your wives.' Then it came to pass on the third day, in the mountain, and the sound of the trumpet in the morning, that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain. And the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. And then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And the Lord said to Moses, 'Go down and warn the people, lest they break through to gaze on the Lord, and many of them perish. Also let the priests who come near the mountain consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them.' But Moses said to the Lord, 'The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you warned us, saying, "Set bounds around the mountain and consecrate it." Then the Lord said to him, "Away, get down and then come up, you and Aaron with you. But do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break out against them." So Moses went down to the people and spoke to them. This passage deals with the subject of approaching God. And notice several things about coming into the presence of God. First, approaching God requires consecration. Verse 10, then the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow and let them wash their clothes. God told Moses to get the people ready to meet him. The Hebrew word translated consecrate is the same root word for the word holy. It means to be ceremonially clean or pure, to be set apart. We don't know exactly what it was Moses did to consecrate them. What's important is that they had to be set apart before they were ready to meet God, to meet with him. He told them to do two things. They were to wash their clothes. Clothes reveal the intentions of the one wearing them. If you see a man in a football uniform, you don't have to ask him what he's about to do. His clothes tell the story. The same is true for a woman in a bridal gown. Her clothes tell you everything you need to know. In the same way that baptism is an external representation of an internal transformation, clean clothes were to symbolize the understanding that to come to God, a person must have a pure heart. Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. And second, they were to refrain from sex. It's not that sexual activity within marriage was unclean, but any personal indulgence which took their heart and mind off God was forbidden. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5, do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. The point is that meeting with God requires seeking him with an undivided heart and mind. It means not allowing anything to distract us from preparing to hear from God. If we want to experience God as believers did in the days of old, we must be prepared to meet him. We must be consecrated. James chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. James tells us four things to do to prepare to draw near to God. Cleanse your hands. Stop sinning. If we're going to experience the presence of God, we can't allow uncontrolled sin to continue in our lives. Purify your heart. This is about attitudes. If we want to be in fellowship with God, we cannot regard sin in our hearts. Psalm 66, verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. And then lament and mourn and weep. Take sin seriously. Anyone who desires to meet God will not treat sin lightly or flippantly. It was our sin that nailed Jesus on the cross. And it was to save us from our sins that he died. And then humble yourselves. See from God's point of view. The opposite of humility is pride. It is pride which keeps you from experiencing God, keeps us from experiencing God as we would like to. And second, approaching God requires reverence. Verse 12, you shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, take heed to yourselves that you do not go up to the mountain or touch its base. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. This speaks of how we view God. probably a better word than reverence is the seldom used word veneration. Whereas reverence implies respect, veneration speaks of respect mixed with awe. God told Moses to set boundaries around the mountain. Why? There are two things to say about those boundaries. First, the boundary was to teach the people that God is different and not to be approached lightly. The Israelites had lived in a polytheistic environment. The Egyptians worshipped hundreds of different gods. They were used to seeing gods carved out of wood or stone. God wanted them to understand that He is the one true living God who won't be manipulated. He wanted them to know who they were approaching. There can be casualness in the way that we often approach God. We sing songs of praise half-heartedly. We listen to God's word preached without applying it to our lives. We can forget that when we come to worship. When we're coming to worship, we are coming to meet with God. We can be guilty of becoming so familiar with what is holy that church becomes more a place of to meet other people than a place to meet God. And then second, the boundary was to teach the people that God can only be approached on His terms. I'm sure there were some who wanted to see God for themselves. They were curious and wanted to sneak a peek of God. There have always been those who think they can deal with God as equals. When we come to God, we should come with a sense of awe and respect. And third, approaching God requires mediation. Exodus chapter 20, verses 18 to 21. When God tells Moses to consecrate the people, it was not something they could do for themselves. It was something Moses was told to do to the people. He was their mediator. He was their intercessor, the one who went between them and God. Exodus 20, beginning with verse 18. Now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, "You speak with us and we will hear. But let not God speak with us lest we die." And Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that His fear may be before you, so that you may not sin." So the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. God spoke to Moses, and Moses spoke to the people. Under the new covenant, we still need a mediator to get to God. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." Moses went up on the mountain to get the law of God. Jesus went up on the hill that we could receive the grace of God. The covenant Moses mediated was based on the works of men. The covenant Jesus mediates is based on His finished work. The only way we can get to God is through Jesus. He is the mediator, the one who makes it possible. His blood consecrates us and sanctifies us so that we can enter the presence of God. This world is full of many religions, which each tell us that they are one of the many pathways to God. In John 14:6, Jesus tells us, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." You have a great day.